Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, Sag Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
The views and opinions of Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris, and Mark Grody should not be taken too seriously, especially when they give advice. Do not take Marshall's analogies literally, especially when it comes to Russell Dorsey. The sports thoughts of Rahimi, Harris, and Grody may change at any time. It's just sports.
Okay, thanks. Bye.
Rahimi, Harris, and Grody, 10 to 2 on 670. The
Marshall, I think you have every right to be concerned about WR1 and WR Emerging. That'd be Rome and Luther.
Is that what we're calling them, WR Emerging?
I mean, how do you explain ascending?
There's an argument to be made that Luther Burden III is their best receiver. If you just look at the last 3 weeks as kind of an indicator of what's going on lately, Luther Burden III is right there with anybody that you want to talk about on this offense. That includes the running backs because of the magnitude of the plays that he has made when you consider he's got games where he has only four catches, but all four catches are for first downs. I think him not being there and Roma Dunze not being there is a problem if that's what happens on Saturday night.
My next thought is, of course, you've got to continue DJ Moore. There's a reason he was your WR1 for a long time on this team. You go back, though, to the box score of when they lost to the Packers 28-21. He was targeted just 3 times. He had 1 catch for -4 yards. I think that he's got to be the guy who they schematically target more.
No,
you can have DJ as your primary read on more plays, but is it going to be enough? Do you think you pass the ball enough as a team to get what you wanted to get done?
A few moments later.
Breaking news on the score. The Bears have ruled Luther Burden, Roma Dunze, out for the game against the Packers.
That seems bad.
I was worried about the Luther Burden.
Roma Dunze out. At least they made that decision now and not later. And yes, Luther Burden is out.
It's always next man up, and everybody just understood the game plan.
Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris, Mark Grody. Middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Hello and good Friday morning. We are live from the Brat Stop here in Kenosha, Wisconsin. And it is thanks to our friends with Ziegler Subaru of Kenosha for having us here. This is ahead of tomorrow's game. And if you're coming by, bring your new or gently used coats to donate to Ziegler Subaru of Kenosha's annual coat drive.
Gotta love a Tony Medlin.
We do. We also want to keep people warm. We are happy and warm inside here at the Brat Stop. We have a good crowd already decked out in Bears gear. Grody, how many Bears do the Bears crowd get?
Let's give it some time here. I can't be giving out Bears in the very first segment of the program, but what I'm seeing, I like. Like the table right in front of us, we have dueling Bears hoodies, a blue version and an orange version. I see a Walter Payton jersey. I see a 17 back there. Is that a Bajan? Are we going Bajan back there? Who? Oh,
Alshon Jeffery
jersey. Jeffery,
hey, that's
course.
Alshon Jeffery's.
Yeah, sir, please add the S.
Yeah, you got
just
it.
Just like Jules. Rhymes with Jules.
Alshon's right. Jeffery's.
Alshon's Jules.
No, this is a family show. We got an Urlacher, and we see our friend Rami Makhlouf in the corner.
That's right. I've already been on Rami's show with John Kuhn, the former fullback for the Green Bay Packers. I've been hearing rumors that he might have picked the Bears to beat the Packers. I'll tell you my pick later on. Yeah, I almost just gave away
Rami's
my pick.
Rami's literally decked out in all Chicago gear. Of course he picked the
he
Bears.
He has a 90s sweatshirt on, which I love.
He's going to be on our show today, Layla.
He is. That's us in our quote, rivalry, end quote, with 105.3 The Fan is getting our guy Rami Makhlouf.
It's the Brat Bowl, man. No, seriously, like, this place is, Brat Stop is beautiful. It's huge. It is spacious. The menu is extensive. And it is pretty cool because we are on this beautiful stage on which we are very high up, I guess is the best way to put it, with our score backdrop. And then down yonder, across the way, down the circle, down the warsh, we see 105.7 The Fan from Milwaukee. So we are truly two dueling radio stations here for Bears Packers, and it's a blast.
So you know what that means? We just got to be louder. We got to be louder on this four seasons.
We're obnoxious Chicago people. Of course we're louder.
Yes, Plumbing and Electric Football Friday. It is presented by your local Ford dealers, Pottawatomie Casino Hotel. And I remember asking the question ahead of the first Packers week. What else do you need to see to take this team seriously? To believe in your heart of hearts that they have changed. To believe that it's not just the schedule the Bears are playing, the new coach bumping Ben Johnson, you know, step on the scene a la 2018 and shock the league. What else do you need to see? So it becomes, is the win over the Packers the last thing you need to see before you can take this Bears team seriously in this year 2025?
Yes. For me, yeah, I think that's the answer for the people in the crowd. They would tell you they are all in, they're all aboard, but if somehow it gets derailed on Saturday night, they're probably going to have second thoughts.
I started to take the Bears seriously as a team that is good and a winning team during what was a 1-2-3-4-5 game winning streak. That's the Cincinnati win. I don't know if that did anything for me. The home against the Giants, I don't know. At Minnesota is where it started for me, and I get it. Minnesota has kind of dropped off since. But to go on the road and win a game in your division, getting your get back, which they did against Minnesota that day, then the home game against Pittsburgh. Can you beat a winning team? Yes, they did. And then along came Philadelphia. And the game at Philadelphia is where I said, okay, I give up. This team is good. There are legitimate things happening. There are sustainable things that are going on. They lose to Green Bay, but didn't look horrible in a 28-21 loss and then 31-3 win over Cleveland. So long way to say, I am bought in on the Bears. If they are to win this game, then you have to start to say, and I have started to utter it, like, this team can do anything. It is capable of doing it, as in it can go so far as to win playoff games, to get to the Super Bowl. That's how legitimate the Bears would become if they were to beat Green Bay on tomorrow. I was going to say
tomorrow
Sunday.
Night.
They will play on tomorrow.
I had a principal in high school who would always say on tomorrow.
On tomorrow.
And you know what? I liked it. Interesting tidbit, by the way. This is only the second Saturday night game in the Bears' history of the franchise. Saturday night.
It's worthy. It's worthy of its own independent stage to do its thing. And I think one way or another, Grody talked about it earlier this week.
Mm-hmm.
The amount of lather on the buildup to that game tonight for the city of Chicago is going to be astounding. And you know what? I am absolutely here for it. And I want to make sure that we all enjoy the moment for what it is, win or lose, like leading up to it and understand, hey, at the beginning of the season, we didn't think we'd have a game this big on the schedule.
Well, and that's it. There are so many times where we could ask the question every week, how big was this game? After a win, we can ask the question every single time, how big was this win? You get 17 games in the regular season. That's an easy take to have. But in this case, I feel like I already saw significant change on this Bears team. I felt like even after the Saints game, and for me it was winning the games that they typically would have lost in the last two or three years. That was my turnaround. So I feel like I was already there when it came to believing the quality of this team. You can only play the games on your schedule, but the bottom line is you still have to win them, and they were doing that. So for me at this point, this is icing on the cake. But this is what you have to do, I think, because you talked about it, Mark, a couple weeks ago. Once the expectations changed, like once your jadedness mm-hmm. turned into expectations, then this game became even more pivotal as far as telling the league, not only are we here, respect us and witness us in the NFC North.
Mark, are we out of the Mark Grody jaded era? Is that over with? Are we done with that?
Well, I'll tell you what. Again, that win over Philadelphia stripped me of a lot of my jadedness.
It cleansed you?
It did. It cleansed me. I still need them to complete the project to finish up, and that would be beating the Green Bay Packers tomorrow. As you guys may or may not remember, when the Bears lost to the Packers 28-21, and look, they came real close to winning, I said, and I got a lot of crap for this, that in some ways it was the same old Bears. And I know people didn't want to hear that, and specifically what I meant about that is that these big, massive plays that the Packers made ultimately to win the game, the two plays to Christian Watson, the Josh Jacobs run, the Bo Melton 45-yarder, those are things that typically happened throughout this run of Packers beating the Bears, these huge, disheartening, dispiriting plays. So I would like to get that final piece of jadedness out of me. And Marshall, you know, you've been tracking me.
Oh, I've been tracking
you. Have
that.
I not come a long way this season?
You've come a long way, because even when we talked about sustainable versus unsustainable wins, and I explained to you, Grody, just understand, it's going to be better in December than it is now. You just have to give them time to grow. And if they're picking up wins along the way, that's going to put them in a position to actually do something this postseason, this playoffs.
Well, and there is a chance that they could even win the division and have only, I think, one win in the division. Like, that is still mathematically possible. So, because of the way the schedule works out. Now, the only time since 2000 a team with fewer than three division wins has won their division, and that's the 2010 Kansas City Chiefs. So theoretically, they could have just three division wins or maybe two division wins and be able to get that done.
Yeah, if they win their next two division games, they'd only have three division wins, but they would win the North. And even if that doesn't happen, let's say they win this game this week, and then that puts them a game and a half up. And, of course, they've already got breathing room against the Lions. As long as the Lions lose one of their last two games and they win one of their last two games, they're good.
And there is a contingency. This is the real thing, guys. There is a contingency of Bears fans whose Bears season and their rooting completely hinges on whether or not they beat the Green Bay Packers. Like, if you lose twice to the Green Bay Packers, some people just get off board. Like my Aunt Rhonda, who is a hunker down, watch every game in silence Bears fan. But if the Bears are to lose to the Packers, it's off for her and for a lot of people to be swept this year. So for some people, the season is on the line tomorrow night.
So Rhonda's off the Bears wagon.
And Rhonda told me.
Not the bandwagon, but the Bears wagon.
The Bear wagon. We had a conversation the other night. She's like, Mark, you know how I am. If they lose to the Packers twice, I'm gone. Because that is no matter what, even if they win the Super Bowl, the Bears, it's an unsuccessful season because they got swept by the Packers. It's out there. I am related to one of them.
No, you know what it is? It's like the Ohio State fans who weren't satisfied with the national championship because they had lost to Michigan so many times.
That's a great comp. That's a great comp.
And it's ridiculous in both settings.
It is.
And
it is.
It's ridiculous
totally
in both settings.
I laughed for like 3 minutes when Rhonda said, Mark, the season is on the line.
If the Packers were to win against the Bears at Soldier Field Saturday but win the Super Bowl this season, you would be pleased, correct?
Split crowd.
Wow.
Split crowd.
Wow. I don't even know if it's split.
We got a lot of disapproving looks just
now. You guys are all Aunt Rhondas. I love it. I love
it. You can take it up with the fan over there in the corner if you don't like the idea of getting a Super Bowl.
Don't let them bully Rami. Poor Rami.
Poor Rami. He's one of us. Our segment, by the way, on Raheemy Harris and Grody Live, coming to you from the Broad Stop, is brought to you by almostfreeteeth.com. Save on dental implants today. But that's it. I mean, for the fan Super Bowl, mm-hmm. which doesn't exist, but it does here in this moment, and I frankly think it exists tomorrow night at Soldier Field, I think that's it. But you have a 10-win team. You still can't be that disappointed if the loss happens on Saturday, given the overall success of this season.
It would suck if the Bears lost to the Green Bay Packers, but obviously you would recollect and you would still have a very good chance of getting into the postseason.
You know what I think about is how, take the situation that happened in Philadelphia. You're a Black Friday game, you're promoted around literally the world. Amazon was showing that game to the world.
The world.
And they had just lost to the Cowboys in what was a terrible game because they were up 21 points. They end up losing that game to their bitterest rival. So the motivation level at the link was on 10. And the Bears come in there and they're like, we're going to run all over you today in the win. We're going to use the wind against you, actually, because of how we won the coin toss. So you don't want that scenario. to happen tomorrow night? You know, that's what I think about. Do the thing to Philly that you're going to do to the Packers at home.
Right.
And that would be, I think, the real feather in the cap of this season.
Do style points matter? Isn't it just
yes.
get the win?
Here are the style points that matter to everybody. I think I've been here long enough. I feel like I can say this. If Caleb Williams throws for 100 yards tomorrow and that's it, as long as the Bears run the ball and they play decent defense, I don't even think they have to play as good of defense as they played all year. Just don't let Jordan Love pick you apart in man coverage and show somewhat of a pass rush. Run the ball. And if they win, that's enough for me.
So if Jordan Love throws for 300 yards and 3 touchdowns, but the Bears get a couple of turnovers and get some defensive touchdowns, and that's how they win the game, that would be uncomfortable.
Well, I don't. I'm the one who still liked the Vegas win, so I got to turn to Brody here.
Oh wow! I still remember you and I talking about. Do you remember when we used to go to Gallagher Way when it was warm out in the city of Chicago and the Cubs were beating the Padres in the wild card round? That's when we discussed.
So
it.
But now they just signed some dude who played in Japan for first base.
Tyler Austin.
My
Tyler Austin to the Chicago Cubs, ladies and gentlemen. Add that to Caleb Thielbar and Hobie Milner. We got Hobie Milner fans out here.
Right, we have Hobie Milner fans.
Yeah.
Who knew?
All right.
Shout out to our Cubs fans for being here as well. We
Go
are
Cubs
live
win.
From the Brat Stop, as we mentioned before, in Kenosha. Come out. Hang out with us. Be cozy. Hang out under the disco ball. There's a Miller Lite sign or two as well.
Bear.
We are broadcasting live from the Brat Stop in Kenosha ahead of tomorrow's game. Thanks to our friends at Ziegler Subaru of Kenosha for having us here. If you're coming by, bring a new or gently used coat to donate to the Ziegler Subaru of Kenosha's annual coat drive. Our producers, Ray Diaz, Tyler Farringold, Brandon Fryer, hanging out. We are live here, so we've got Rich Wyatt on the ones and twos, along with Connor O'Donnell helping us out on Twitch. Twitch.tv/Chicago670 The Score. Jacob Stutz and Max Curtis help us out as well. They are part of our video team. We broadcast live through The Score's Hyundai Studios, brought to you by your Hyundai dealers. And when we have breaking news on The Score, it is brought to you by Wildfire. Coming up next, because we've got such a busy show, we haven't even told you who's on today. We have Patrick Manley joining us for 2 segments starting at 11 here live from the Brat Stop. We have Rami Makhlouf joining us from across the way here at the Brat Stop at 12:25 to give us the latest from Milwaukee. 5 on It is at noon. And Henry Melton, the former Bears defensive lineman, will be here for the 1 o'clock hour. We're going to have a lot of fun with Henry, too, here at the Brat Stop. So coming up next, we usually do Inside the Locker Room a little later, but not today.
Mm.
Who can help us with that? Do you know somebody?
I would like the opportunity to take you guys and our vast audience inside the Bears locker room, if I may, next.
Next.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Next.
Foot.
The premier
locker room
show in Chicago. Inside the
locker room.
Yeah, that's right. It's inside the locker room. Not to be confused with inside the clubhouse or say hit and run.
We wouldn't want to confuse the listeners.
Theme song.
Would we?
We totally didn't steal for this segment.
They talk about baseball. We talk about football. Like, come on.
This is Rahimi Harrison Grody on 670 The Score. And, yeah, it's football season. We're at the Brat Stop in Kenosha for the game tomorrow against the Packers. It's festive. So why not do Inside the Locker Room early on Rahimi Harrison Grody today?
I think I have 2 really good cuts from going through the Bears locker room yesterday. And I'll say think I said. Did I say clubhouse?
No, I just like saying locker room like a robot.
Oh, I like when you do that. I think I said to you guys in the car, I think I said that this locker room continues to just, like, the enthusiasm in there, it's, like, at a 10 right now. Like, just everybody is excited. It's loud in the Bears locker room. There's basketball games being played. Everybody's smiling. It's like, for my olds out there, it's like Fantasy Island. It smiles, everyone. It's just, it's happiness. Mr. Rourke is there with Tattoo inviting everybody into the Bears locker room. But I will now take you in there.
Wait a second. Compare it to, like, this time last year for people who might not.
Well, that's interesting you ask that because the Bears locker room, despite having had the tumult that they did have and the fact that they lost 10 straight games, it was not a bad locker room. You know what I mean? Like, guys got along. Guys were good with the media last year. I think in some ways those players liked that the media understood what was going on, and some players liked to tell us what was going on and off the record. So believe it or not, it was not a bad locker room in a classic way last year. But there is a discernible difference that has been going on, I think, for about I really noticed it kick in a couple of weeks ago, and it's just been on this volume, which is good. So vibes are great in the locker room. I could tell you that from being in there as often as I could possibly get in there. But I thought one of the most interesting responses from the Bears locker room came yesterday from Cole Kmet when he was asked to talk about the juice heading into this game against the Green Bay Packers. The answer that you were about to hear from Cole Kmet, what he's about to say, I think will surprise people.
Yeah, the juice of it. Yeah, it's not as heightened as maybe as you would think it would be. I think everyone's got a really good demeanor, at least that's how I feel right now, and we've taken the approach of game to game. And, you know, I felt like going into that last game we played against these guys, I thought there was more juice going into the week, like almost too much, where I thought maybe there was a little pressing going on early in the game, and I think you get in at halftime and realize, all right, this is still the same football. This is football. That's all it is. And so I feel like we got a good mentality going into this week, and hopefully we can kind of pick up where we left off at the end of that game on Saturday. This Saturday.
Too much juice going into last week, that admission right there. So it sounds like the Bears have taken a deep breath and been like, we belong here. Let's relax a little bit. Let's rise to the occasion. Let's know how important this game is, but let's not get into our heads too much.
You could argue they took the deep breath at halftime, and that's why when you talk about adjustments or lack thereof, that's what Ben Johnson was talking about. Also, is it bad that when he's saying that, what I'm thinking about is a certain player being too amped up?
Caleb Williams.
The one that throws the football?
Look, we have tried very hard to get answers, and it does seem like an unanswerable question. Like, why the slow starts? And we all look at it and say, is Caleb too amped up? Is he nervous? Is he got the yips early on? We have thrown every possible scenario out there. But now Cole Kmet, obviously not mentioning Caleb Williams in that, but he is the centerpiece to the offense.
0 for 5 to start the game. 0 for 5 to start the game, and
yes,
some of those throws look like they should have been pedestrian throws. And that's why you wonder, okay, it's been a couple of games since then. He obviously started better against Cleveland. I know it's a lesser team, but that defense is real, and that the ability to rush the passer is very real with Myles Garrett. And so now I'm just looking at the start of this game, even with a bigger microscope, a more highly powered microscope.
Well, and I'm looking back at my notes, and yeah, it's DeAndre Swift up the middle for 5 yards, and he overthrew Luther Burden on the left side. Houdini's out of a sack on 3rd and 5, and then there was a hold on Darnell Wright against Rashawn Gary, you know, 3rd and 15, and he overthrew the middle. So yeah, that would indicate that perhaps there was a little bit of amped upness, but also, it's okay to run the ball 2 out of 3 times in that drive. It's okay to run the ball 2 out of 3 times in the next drive. Like, if you know your quarterback has a propensity to do that, it's okay to call different plays. Establish the run game as early as you can this time around.
And the penalties have to be mentioned, too, because I think part of being amped up is when you are holding, because you just, I got to have every advantage if you're Darnell Wright in that situation. Remember, Caleb Williams ran for a first down. They got called back because
right,
of the holding.
Yeah.
So I liked what he did last week, Caleb Williams, Ben Johnson, bootlegging him out and getting him kind of on the run,
yeah,
not sitting back in the pocket. That, I think, puts him in a more comfortable position for two reasons. One, when you're on the move, he's used to that. That's the kind of play he likes to make. Also, you do have the option to run there. And that can get someone into their flow, if you will. If you're Caleb Williams and you've watched him all season long, what he does best and what he does not as well at the start the outset of games.
Do you remember last year? I know nobody wants to remember last year, but they actually started to do that, the bootlegging, the rollouts, later in the season. And we went through a period of time, and I understand if people have blacked this out, where Cole Kmet was an issue last year because he wasn't getting targeted. Remember, we would go through these games.
The Gerald Everett was spoken about way too often.
Right. We're like, Cole Kmet, zero targets. And then there was a game and when we really were all over it, the way we were all over DJ Moore for not being targeted. The very next game, bootleg rollout, and just like, let's just get it to Cole Kmet at whatever expense. I'd like to see more of that.
Yeah, I mean, that's... But Cole Kmet's saying we had too much juice. There's a real easy way to calm your team down, and to me, that's to run the football. Like, that's easy. You know, take that anger out on the ground, go ground and pound, especially with no Micah Parsons. And Rashawn Gary, I expect to still be disruptive. I don't think there's any doubt about that, but he's not going to be able to get freed up as much now that Micah Parsons isn't a part of that equation.
Well, and Rashawn Gary has not had a sack in his last, handful of games. He's in a sack slump, I suppose you could say right now, at a pretty bad time. But let me get back in the locker room here and bring DJ Moore into the picture. Now, you guys know that through the last couple of years, Dan Weider and I have had some very interesting discussions with DJ Moore. There's always a good...
What?
There's always a good, healthy back and forth. Like, sometimes it could get serious, sometimes it's not as serious with DJ Moore, but he is always ready to engage. I asked him about being gratified with a catch. Dan asked him, are you pleased? Both times he looked up at us like, what are these questions? Why are you asking me these things? So yesterday, this is just hilarious.
Would you ask, are you gratified or are you pleased back to back?
What?
Right. And that was
especially
his,
you guys are getting a double team work of the Take the North podcast DJ Moore in the locker room.
I wish people could see DJ Moore, too, because he has a look on his face. Like, he kind of tilts his head.
Like, I'm waiting to see how you say what you
right,
say.
Right, right. He's got his eyes are kind of, like, squinting shut. What is Weider? What's Grody going to say now? He gives a look of being very, skeptical of what is about to come out of my mouth, if you could see this man. But anyway, yesterday, Dan, who wasn't trying to be funny in any way, shape, or form. And the answer turns out to be serious. But it was, listen closely at the very beginning. Dan asked the question, what is Ben Johnson's special touch? Not pleasing, not gratitude, not gratifying, but what is his special touch? Here's DJ Moore.
His special touch? It's either you want to get yelled at or you don't. That's the special touch. You either get the game plan down or you don't play. And it's just like you got to do it, be detailed and precise. If you're not, you're coming out of the game and next man up.
Does he ever take that intensity down a notch?
No, it's always like that, no matter what it is.
You never caught him in like a laid-back moment or anything?
You catch him sparingly before meetings or something like that, but other than that, he's locked in.
How can you tell when he's...
Because he's smiling. All right, that's the difference.
Because he's smiling. If he's not smiling, he's locked TF in.
Every now and then, he breaks and smiles and has fun sometimes.
Breaks character. And really, he's breaking character when he smiles, right? That's what we're seeing, right, Mark?
Yeah, and this has been consistent. I think it was DJ Moore who at the beginning of the season said that he's a crazy man. Something to that effect.
He also mentioned the evil eye.
I don't know if I remember that, but
he talked about how you don't want to get his evil eye.
Don't want to get his evil eye, and he's crazy. Our guy Weider wrote that whole article before the season started about Ben Johnson just wanting to annihilate teams and embarrass teams and bury teams and make them look bad. So it's interesting how consistent, I think that's another thing we can take away from this, and Ben Johnson, how consistent he has been in the words that he has used, and then to see those words used manifest themselves on the field, whether it's the offensive line or the running game working out, the pre-snap motions that the Bears are doing more of now than they ever have. And it's a real beautiful dance to watch. If you're either, you see some of it on TV, but watching the All-22, or from where I watch in the press box, to watch where, say, like Colston Loveland starts and where he ends up. It's really a thing of beauty to see, especially when it works.
You know what I would like to see manifested this week in particular?
You like that word that I just used.
That article that Dan Weider wrote about the embarrassment factor and about how everybody you asked talked about how much he takes pleasure and how gratified he is, Ben Johnson, in being the one to embarrass people. Because if you look up and down the schedule, yes, they are 10-4. Yes, they are in playoff position. Yes, they are right now at the top of the NFC North. You know what they haven't done yet? They haven't embarrassed anyone yet. And I think this might be an opportunity to do that, but I'm also worried about it.
You turned the page from Sunday so fast, you forgot the 31-3 game.
I don't think they embarrassed
the Browns.
That's not what embarrassment is. Yeah. Embarrassment is when you get the big man touchdown in, when you're running trick plays, when he is smiling on the sideline. Have you seen
Andrew Billings?
I haven't seen
him. Yes, we have our first Wayne Larrabee
impersonation. Andrew Billings with a touchdown. This guy is a house.
We really should get a trick play this game.
So, I mean, he tried one the last time they played the Packers. We know about that. The big man touchdown was in order.
Right,
but
right.
What I'm saying is, win better than at Soldier Field with those lathered up fans than to just put your foot on someone's neck and not let up. Stomp it out.
Unfortunately, you're right. The Bears have not embarrassed anybody, but they have been embarrassed.
They embarrassed the Browns.
That's just a team that's worse than you that they just beat.
Browns embarrassed themselves? That was just autopilot?
I don't believe you can embarrass a team unless you've scored a minimum of 40 points. Embarrassing a team is scoring 52, which the Lions did against the Bears. That's an embarrassing loss. Cleveland's a bad team, so 31-3, that sounds about right.
That sounds this is what you're supposed to do to
How greedy we have got.
Yes,
it's better
Ben
than Johnson's
jaded,
greedy. Right?
We're following his lead.
The ghost of Christmas greed is somewhere out here.
Is that a thing?
No, I just made it up. Also, it's capitalism. You could just say that.
Yes.
Greed is good, I thought we were told.
The ghost
at one
of
point
Gordon
time.
Gekko?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they love that movie.
The Wolf of Wall Street is really the better picture, though.
No.
I love them both.
You're not going to come in here with your recency bias.
You're right. You know, I literally watched Wolf of Wall Street a week ago.
Exactly.
So there's a recency bias.
Did you finish the other guys?
No, he didn't.
I don't know what's happened.
Okay,
right.
just forget about it, Grody.
I enjoyed it, and for some reason, you guys, you know how it is.
Someone texted you. You looked at your phone.
Exactly.
Squirrel.
I am all over the place. You know what I
Dave
started?
Dave the Cat wanted some attention.
You know what I've started watching? I'm watching two things right now, back and forth. West Wing episodes, which is fantastic. And then there's this great Aretha Franklin movie going on right now on Netflix. And it's great. It's just fantastic.
Right. Well, you know, if you want Grody to see a certain movie, you can text us or call us. 312-644-6767. And why should it be the other guys? We have more from inside the locker room because just like Marshall Harris over here and just like the fans in the crowd who were chanting while the Bears were on offense at Green Bay sucks, everybody turned the page quickly. So let's go back to some of the post-game comments from Sunday that you may have missed ahead of this all-important Packers game. This is Raheem Harrison Grody live from the Brat Stop in Kenosha, brought to you by Ziegler Subaru. More Inside the Locker Room is next on The Score.
What?
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
We're talking to play-by-play man Kevin Harlan. You're the best when it comes to play-by-play of life.
We're sending Marshall Harris to D.C. to run on the field.
Come on, Marshall. Bring it home, baby. We're ready for you.
The Raheemy Harrison Grody Show, middays 10 to 2 on 670 The Score.
This is Raheemy Harrison Grody on 670 The Score. We are broadcasting live from the Brat Stop in Kenosha for the brothel ahead of the game tomorrow. And thanks to our friends at Ziegler Subaru of Kenosha, they just dropped off these lovely gift bags for us. So that was so nice of Ziegler Subaru. And we are happy to have the crowd out here today. Already, everybody filling into the Brat Stop this morning. And we continue our Inside the Locker Room segment because we have so many guests on this show. Inside the Locker Room with Mark Grody had to be a little bit earlier today.
Yeah, you guys, it's been a long time that I have sensed from Bears players legitimate anger over losing to the Green Bay Packers, because so many times it has just felt like it is their it's they're going to lose, and we know it, and if they get a fluke win, they get a fluke win. But it
that's what a promo.
Yeah. This
yeah.
one, that loss to the Packers at Lambeau Field, 28-21, I could tell you, left a bad taste in the players' minds. And the reason I know this is because after the Cleveland win, one of the topics in the locker room was, all right, now it's on to Green Bay. We got to beat Green Bay because that pissed us off. Let's start with Caleb Williams. Caleb Williams at the podium after, again, a 31-3 win over the Cleveland Browns. There's Caleb Williams up there talking about the Green Bay Packers game, upon which we are about to hit.
Caleb, you get to face Green Bay twice now.
Yep.
Weeks, he'll be here in 5-6 days, whatever mm-hmm. it is. How much are you looking forward to that second matchup with the
Packers? Yeah, I'm excited. I'm, ended up obviously throwing the pick, as everybody knows, in those last moments, and, you know, kind of let that off the hook, throwing such a bad ball to Cole. And so, you know, I'm definitely excited. I'm excited for the moment. You know, they're coming here, and, you know, it's another game for us, but, you know, I'm excited.
You could hear the early sigh and just the fact that he said it. They let the Packers off the hook. Now, I would argue they just kind of ran out of time, and obviously there was an interception thrown, Keyshawn Nixon there in the end zone to haul that ball in, but you could hear what it left in the mind of Caleb Williams.
I don't think they necessarily ran out of time, because I think they were using the clock to their advantage to try to end the game then and there. If there was more time, I tell you what, I'm pretty sure the Packers would have scored, because that's the kind of day the Bears defense was having. Now, Dennis Allen's had 2 weeks to get it together. He's got some of his players back. He's lost other players. I can't wait to see how this plays out. But I will say this. Do you think Caleb Williams has gone 24 hours at a time at any point without thinking about that last throw? I don't think he has. Based on just what we heard there, that's after a Browns win. You're still thinking about that.
He doesn't like to throw interceptions.
Right.
You know, and that one, he did the right thing by taking a risk. But we know, we watched that play over and over again. Kmet was probably open a little bit earlier in the play around the 5 or 6 yard line, and I know he wants that one back.
And I think the anger probably started to bubble, not just after it happened in Green Bay, but as Ben Johnson sat down with Caleb Williams and they went through the film, and he probably said, this is what could happen, this is what could happen, here's what you probably should have done. We've seen so many weeks this year where Caleb Williams has come back up to that podium and spoken to us after a game where things didn't go well and been like, yeah, we kind of looked at it and there were some things that I could have done much better. And I think that he's looking at this game exactly like that. I want to give you guys one more example from the locker room again after the Cleveland game, and that is C.J. Gardner-Johnson, who was already thinking about Green Bay as well.
Ben talked about how much this game meant for the entire season. Really,
yeah.
Said you guys desperately need a win. You guys took care of business. Did you hear that messaging throughout the week from Ben?
No, it was more so focused on what you can do to help this team win. And I think everybody's pissed off after last week. I mean, that's a great team we played in Green Bay. We accept our loss, and we know what we got to do this week to focus on us. Really, it's not about nobody else but the Bears, and we got to do what we need to do to go in this Saturday and compete.
So that anger sustained them throughout that week and through the Cleveland game, and it sounds like it's still there.
Well, I think I did not think that at the beginning of this season that CeeDee Gardner-Johnson would be the one to voice the locker room concern so well, and also be able to be the one to also diplomatically and yet TV-friendly articulate the defense's goal every week. But he certainly has done that, and he's right. You know, you could see it. You could tell based on the players on the field and how they played, and then you could tell based on even immediately when DeMarco Jackson gets that game ball, you know, what does he say? I've got a bad taste in my mouth. I mean, immediately it was that quick. So you knew how they felt. fans mirrored it. You know, we've taken on the same tone and the same approach as the players, I feel like, all season, and the head coach, and everybody seems to be on the same page there, including CeeDee.
Right, and while we use Caleb as an example of this, the chip on the shoulders of everybody in that secondary, I can tell you, goes well beyond C.J. Gardner-Johnson and the bad taste that left in their mouth, because they were the ones that got exploited in that game, quite frankly. And that there, and right there is your X's and O's in all of this. This secondary must come up with a better plan, as in Dennis Allen must come up with a better plan to not allow Bo Melton 45 yards, to not allow a 41-yard slant pass to Watson.
One-on-one by C.J. Gardner-Johnson or C.D. Gardner-Johnson, however you want to say it.
And you know what we saw, and I love it. Like, I love the Dennis Allen secondary blitzes. They speak to me on many levels and make me happy inside. But unfortunately, we saw that when they decided to do that, they were able to pick apart man. The Packers did really, really well. And when you decided to do that, I don't know how much of it was based on a game plan that probably included Kyler Gordon, because that was a game time injury. But I feel like because of that, it was just, it looked bad. And, you know, we saw that they blitzed him over 40% of the time. It was like 42% of his dropbacks, Jordan Love's. And they just didn't get home in any way, shape, or form. And then they got burned with either a check down or a quick release that worked out in Love in the Packers' favor.
Man, so that's so great that you brought that up, the pressure rate in that game. Because it really makes me wonder, because you can't just take that all off the plates, but something different has got to be done.
You got to get home more often, Mark. 18%
but you should get home rushing four down linemen, but
that's another conversation. Which
I guess what I'm getting at here is with the vulnerability that it's looking like with Zach Tom perhaps being out for the Packers at right tackle, do you... Because you got to put pressure on Jordan Love, but we all saw them get burned. I mean, how much do you distinguish that game plan or extinguish that game plan, or do you got to keep up with the pressure, right? I mean, you don't want to just completely lay back in zone and go easy. I mean, you still got to bring pressure, but it's very complicated.
Hold that thought.
Mm-hmm.
I think I have just the guy to talk it through.
Really?
With. Yes. If only there was a former NFL player that we could call. Maybe somebody who was like, I don't know, a longest tenured Bear.
Is Henry Melton here?
I see Patrick Manley.
Oh, Patrick Manley.
That's Patrick Manley's music. He's coming through the tunnel. So let's talk about this with Patrick Manley, our Chicago Bear. We also talk to him before and after every game right here on 670 The Score. So Patrick Manley will join us live from the Brat Stop in Kenosha on this Football Friday next here on 670 The Score.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Reign. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.